What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, look, guys, do me a favor real quick. Don't forget to visit, share, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout-out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I'm excited to be here today, tonight. If it is Thursday, then that must mean TMG is streaming. And I'm so glad you decided to join us tonight, wherever you're listening. If you're listening in Spain, if you're listening in Nigeria, if you're listening in Japan, if you happen to be listening right now in Mexico or in Canada, I want to take this moment to tell you thank you very much for tuning in. And you say, well, Travis, man, I've been listening to you for the 4 years that you've been streaming. Thank you so much for streaming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you. I really mean that. And if this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time listening to the show, do me a favor. Go ahead and type the word new in chat. Yeah, N-E-W. Or maybe if you're driving and you're listening to this for the very first time, just say it out loud. I'm new. But thank you to all the new listeners and new visitors to the show. Guys, this tonight's episode is going to be one that's going to be really good. It's going to be heart-touching, informative, and it's going to change your life, guys. I promise you that. I know it will. It's going to be an amazing episodes. Let me get some things out of the way so we can dive into the meat of this episode. Now, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives, like with you and with me. So if you have an inspiring story that you would like to share and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, well, Travis, I know someone or I know an interesting topic to talk about, but I don't want to come on a show. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Still drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you can even remain anonymous if you'd like. There you go. Guys, you know there are a couple affiliate sponsors that help support the show. And I want you guys to visit our sponsors. The information, their information is there in the chat. You see it right down below. Go ahead and use that information. While I go ahead and play this sponsorship information, get this out of the way. When we come back, we're diving deep into this because this is going to be good. You might as well go ahead and get your life preserver. You're going to need it. We're going deep.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
There it is, guys, right there. Please visit one of our associate sponsors. The information is right below. It's in the chat. And if you didn't catch it, if you're not watching, the information is there in the audio so you can catch it. Guys, tonight's episode, I don't want to delay this even more. But as you can see, look behind me, April is very special. April is not only is it World Autism Awareness Month, but April shares a moment with April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Yeah, that's right. They both go hand in hand. If you believe it or not, a lot of children suffer the hands of child abuse because they may have a disability or they may be on the autism spectrum. And guys, sometimes that does go hand in hand. And I'm going to provide some brief information. Guys, listen, around 1 in 36 children has been identified with autism in the United States, according to the CDC. And around 1% of the world's population has autism spectrum disorder. Now, that's more than 75 million people, according to research conducted by the CDC, that 1 in 100 children are diagnosed on the autism spectrum disorder. That's to do our part, we can spread the word of awareness, inclusion, and equity by discovering ways to help in our local areas. Guys, tonight's episode, if you've been waiting on pins and needles, tonight's episode, guys, is entitled Lifeline. Yeah, tonight's episode is entitled Lifeline. And I know we could go some places with that. Have you ever thought about becoming a lifeline for some people? I know in your life, maybe you're that member in your family who they always ask to help out. Then you are the lifeline. You're the one they always come for the answers. You're the one they always come for the solution. You are their lifeline. 5,788. Yeah, it's a big number. Now, this is not the number of times that someone has walked through the doors of their favorite place to eat. It's the number of children that are in the foster homes here in Alabama. That's right. In fact, nationally, guys, 740 children enter foster care every day. That's one child every 2 minutes. Now, we've already been talking for a few minutes, so a child has already entered into the foster care system here in the United States. One child in every 2 minutes. Man, today, tonight, our guest is Mr. Paul Berry. He's not a stranger to the show. He's been here before. He works with foster children here in Alabama, but he also advocates for foster children nationally. And tonight, we're going to talk about what it means to be a lifeline for children who are in foster care. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome for our very special guest, Mr. Paul Berry. What's up, Paul? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's always good being at a place where something good is being told.
That's what I'm talking about, Paul. Tell me about it, man. Always something good being told, man. Listen, guys, when Paul contacted me and we wanted to talk about something that's going on that's great, it blew my mind. I'm like, man, Paul, wow. Of all the people, you would think about me. I mean, there's so many resources. And he said, man, I had to consider you. So, Paul, you know I'm glad to have you here, man.
It's always great to be here, man. I love being around people like you.
One thing for sure, you won't be bored. I guarantee that. You won't be bored, man. Man, it's an absolute amazing time to have you here. I'm so happy to have you on the show once more. And it seems like it was just a few months ago when you were here talking with us about Foster Coalition and the things and all the work that you do for the foster children here. I say Alabama, but really nationally. What you guys do and kind of putting a spotlight on those things. And I know a lot has changed since your last visit with us. Please, if you will, if you don't mind, Paul, let our newest members introduce yourself to our newest members and tell us what you do and who you are, my friend.
Well, on January the 1st of 2015, I retired. And January the 7th of that year, 6 days later, I had 3 grandchildren to raise. So I'm a grandparent raising grandchildren. But when they turned in their teenage years, they started acting out pretty good. And a lot of it was just normal teenage behavior, but normal teenage discipline did not help. I felt like, if these kids have everything that they need and in a loving environment, then how much more of those hurting out there in the foster world? So I went around and started talking to about 40, 45 different organizations around the state and find out what's good and what's bad and what's ugly. And out of that came Foster Coalition, which is a catalyst organization that creates collaborative communities in each county. So we are uniting the governmental foster agencies together with the local foster organizations, and that can range anywhere from 40 to 400 in each county.
Wow.
And then we're trying to connect the church in, because the church can't do what the government does. They can't take kids out of the home. That's called kidnapping. And the government can't do what the church does. So, but everybody working together, then some good results will happen. In fact, Stanford University had done a survey on this and said that if you can create collaborative communities, you can improve the situation between 30 and 50%. So that's kind of what we are doing. And in my journey, we found out we had 4 major problems. One is that they needed bodies to work. They need foster parents. They need to be wrapped with a support group around them to help them, because taking care of a foster child is like taking care of 2 or 3 kids. So it takes a lot more energy, because you got to go to counseling and meetings and all that stuff. It just takes a lot out of you. And I lost my train of thought. But anyway, we're out here creating, trying to reduce the turnover. Turnover in foster parents is 100% a year. Caseworkers and DHR, their turnover last year was 64%.
Wow.
The year before it was 56, and then the year before that it was in the 40s, but it's getting worse each year. So we're trying to reduce turnover. We're trying to reduce, get workers. And then we're also trying to educate community like this.
Right, right.
What's going on, what the needs are out there, and even organizations don't know that the others exist. So we're trying to educate them about each other. Mm-hmm. And then we're trying to create a communication process. We're producing 9 one-hour documentaries on the foster system.
That's good.
And just trying to create communication between all the workers in the area so that they can fix this problem together.
What's amazing, Paul, when I hear what you're saying, and thank you for sharing, what's so amazing is that, you can have one entity, one organization existing for the same thing, and they're not aware that another entity or organization exists for the same thing, and they're just oblivious of each other. That and here it is. It's kind of like you trying to climb a mountain using a rope, but you're only using one of your hand. You can make it, but you're making it slower. You can do it, but you're accomplishing it a little bit tougher. You don't use the other hand. There's no communication saying you can use both hands to climb. And that's what we're talking about being a lifeline. You have to use both hands, Paul. It takes both hands to use to climb. And a lot of times we just got people have that one organization. It's a good idea, but you're just climbing like this. And you wonder why there's just a strain on the system, and a strain because it requires more than just the government. It requires more than just a church. It requires more than that. It requires the community and everyone involved to, you say, build that bridge of communication so that we can understand that we can climb this thing together and we don't have to do it by ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, it's a lot of people think, you know, it's kind of like throwing two people in the water that can't swim and trying to save each other. That doesn't work, but everybody can do something. You may not can do everything, but you can do something.
You can do something, man. That's a great point. I think previously when you were here, I remember the episode very vividly. Previously on the show, you mentioned some what I call uninvolved factors. You mentioned some uninvolved factors, meaning the child had no part in it as a reason that they're in foster care. I call them uninvolved factors. The child wasn't involved at all. They had nothing to do with it. Was it because the child was acting out? Was it because the child, you know, was making bad grades or anything like that? They was running away. None of those. Just uninvolved factors that contribute to children in foster homes. For example, parents may be on drugs, house not settled, no close relatives for them to be placed with or housed with. From your experience, Paul, what may be some factors or reasons that either prevent or cause reluctancy of a person becoming that lifeline for some of these children?
Well, I think a lot of it is they've heard a lot of bad news about the foster world, and some of that is true, but there's a lot of good stuff. Well, I can say one positive thing about this whole system is I have never met so many loving, caring, compassionate, understanding people that are trying to help these children. And so there's a lot of people doing it. But again, they may not know how to do it every way. But, they're afraid. Most people are, because of the press, they're afraid to get into it. So and also handling the kids, people are not really trained the way they should be. And therefore, they walk into a bad situation. They weren't prepared for that, so they throw up their hands and quit. So there's a lot of the structural problems out there, but we're trying to get between all of that and fix what we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. So to me, it sounds like just either misinformation for individuals about the foster system, and that misinformation causes reluctancy, or maybe it's just don't know enough about it.
Don't know anything about it. When you're teaching or working with a child, you know, like a teacher. I have a daughter that is a teacher. I have two grandchildren that are teachers. I have a sister-in-law that is a teacher. Mm. And they talk so much about a child acting out in class, and it's disrupting the class, and they have trouble teaching because of that. Mm. And the way that they're handling it is totally wrong, because handling it in a disciplinarian type way actually doesn't help their child, because they don't understand why the children are doing what they're doing.
And that's what it's all about. It's about looking beyond the behavior and trying to find the why, find the reason why. What's going on? Why is this child misbehaving every time they come to school? What is it about this environment that's a trigger for this child? What is it about if I, as a teacher, if I'm an educator, and I correct this child, what is it about that that's a trigger to that child? Was it really triggering? It can't be because I say, hey, have a seat in class. What is it triggering?
Well, the triggering is, you know, you got to understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when a child comes into the foster system, you know, we're all searching for secured acceptance and significance in our life. Mm. These kids will ask themselves one of three questions nearly every day. One is, will I lose one or both of my parents to death, divorce, addiction, prison, or desertion? That's their security. So trying to provide that in, as a foster parent, that's their big job. But secondly, they'll ask, you know, why am I on this earth? I'm not important. I have no value. Nobody cares about me.
Come on.
I don't care what I do. So that's their significance. They don't know why they're here, and they don't believe that they're important. And thirdly, they will ask themselves, will I ever find someone that will love me as much as I love them? And they're all searching for love, and we all are, but a lot of times it's looking for love in all the wrong places. But, you know, it's these kids are getting passed around from foster parent, home to home, and it's tough. And that just creates their life worse. It makes it a worse situation.
Absolutely.
And I've interviewed 27 of these youth that have aged out of the system. Mm-hmm. And they told me all of their horror stories. You know, they lived anywhere from 12 to 30 different living environments. They abused in a lot of cases, and on and on and on. They didn't learn to drive until they were 25.
Wow.
They all have a free college education, but only 3% take it, because they said 70% say they would have taken if they'd known about it. And then, so at the end, I asked them, what is the one thing that would have made a difference in your life going through the foster world?
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if I just had one person that would have accepted me the way I was, give me some guidance about life, and would not have deserted me, would have made all the difference in my decisions. And there was only two people out of that 27 that had anybody that they could talk to from their past. One was a previous foster parent, another one was a teacher. And but it meant a lot to them. And but that's the world that they live in. They just, they're suffering from trauma and behavior issues. And that, and one lady said, I knew what I was doing was wrong, but nobody cares about me. What difference does it make?
Yeah, no. Why change my behavior? Nobody even cares if I even exist. So why change my behavior?
Yeah, that's right. So they're struggling through life, trying to find a way out. But it doesn't matter if they're 1 year old, zero. They're suffering from trauma all the way through. But they need people that love and care for them.
Exactly. Wow. And I think a lot of times, Paul, what we do is we hear foster child. What we're really saying is not my child.
Yeah.
I care, but it's not my child.
Right.
You know, I'm concerned, but it's not my child. That's what foster child really means, not my child. And to get people to care, whether it's a child or restaurant or business, to get someone to care about something with a great deal that doesn't belong to them is tough. They don't want to do because they say, I got no skin in the game. It's not mine.
No skin in the game.
I didn't put anything into that. And we all, but that's the other episode. Go listen to that.
There's another statistic there is that 66,000 children have been adopted out of the foster system and returned.
And returned.
It's
not a puppy.
Because they didn't understand how to handle these children.
It's not a puppy. It's not something you can go to the store and you say, well, it doesn't fit me, so I'm going to take it back. Or it's the wrong color, it's the wrong size, so I'm going to return it. It's a human being. It's a whole person.
It's a person. And you got to learn. And a lot of people say, I don't want to be in the foster system because I might love them too much. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what they need.
They would not care, Paul, if you love them too much. I don't think they would complain and say, you know what? I think I'm going to leave because you love me too much.
But I understand where they're coming from. I was a financial planner in the world. I helped people with budgeting. I had a guy come in one time and he said, I got the solution to my financial problem. That I just need to sell three kids. So these kids, it can put a strain on you financially and otherwise, but You know, love overcomes a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can love them, you can get through it all.
Well, anything that's worthwhile is worth keeping up.
All right. And if you're not doing something for somebody else, you're not going to have joy in your life anyway.
Absolutely. If everything that you do, man, Paul, please, if everything that you do is self-serving,
yeah,
everything you do, you are the very center and the very core of that, you're going to live a pretty miserable life because it's going to cut off. And the reason I say that because you're going to, yes, I can say that. You will live a pretty miserable life because you're going to cut off and limit relationships that you could have that could enhance you a whole lot better. If you're going to do that, you may as well go in a room and lock yourself in the door and never come out. That's essentially what you're doing. You're cutting yourself off from other.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Relationships that can help you. You cannot do it all by yourself. Man, the organization, Paul, that you are a part of, Foster Coalition, you guys have a major, from my understanding, you guys have a major event taking place very soon, from what I understand. Tell us a little bit about it and how can people attend this auspicious event, my friend?
Well, we're going to have an event on April the 20th. That's Saturday. It starts at 8:30 and runs to around 12 or 12:30. Depends on how long people want to stay around. But we're going to talk about what is trauma. And that's a big issue. If you don't understand what it is, you don't know how to do anything else.
Exactly.
You know, I'll give you an example. Have you ever had a dream at night where you were just all in turmoil and you were trying to scream out at night, trying to warn somebody? Well, that's a great example of what trauma is.
Wow.
In the back of your head, you have all these anxieties and stress and angst in you, but you can't voice it. You can't communicate what it is.
Man, that is trauma.
That's a definite good example of trauma. In fact, you know, trauma behavior happens when the normal means of getting something, a need met, doesn't work, then you're going to try something else.
Wow.
Okay, and usually it's subconsciously trying something else. You know, so, these adoption agencies have told us that you go over to China and go into an orphanage over there, the quietest room in the house is the infant's room, because they've cried and cried to get their needs met, whether it's a diaper change or pain or food. It didn't work, so they just quit crying.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that's a basic example. As you get older, you start behaving in different ways until you learn how to handle it. But that takes somebody else. You know, if somebody is traumatized when they are very young and is never treated, you know what age, the average age is before they can really explain what happened to them?
How old?
52.
You're kidding me, Paul. Wait, Paul, you mean to tell me a child can be traumatized at age 2 and they may not be able to adequately, we ain't talking about it, but adequately deal with that, get it out, express it. It's 52, half their life.
That's a long time to live with trauma and trauma behavior, especially if you're a spouse of that person. You're not knowing why they're acting and the way they're doing. So it affects relationships all of their life. So understanding what trauma is and getting it treated, and there's not a lot of places to even get treatment. And that's the reason we're having this trauma education conference. We're teaching foster parents, grandparents raising grandkids. In Alabama, there's 230,000 grandparents raising grandkids. And we're teaching teachers, counselors, church workers, even youth workers, as to how to recognize what trauma is. And then how do you identify that by their behaviors? Because they're either going to do a fight, flight, or freeze behavior. You got to learn what that looks like. And then lastly is, how do you deal with it? If you deal with it in a disciplinarian way, it's going to make their life worse, and it's going to make the caregiver's life worse. So if a teacher is dealing with this and they're just doing timeouts and sending them to the office to get treatment or behavior issues handled, then it's just going to make their life worse, and it's going to make the teacher's life worse in the classroom. So you got to understand what it is, how to recognize it, and what to do about it. So we got about 3.5 hours of continuing education for foster parents and teachers, and even nurses have called and asked if they qualify for that. And we said, sure. And so we got other grandparents. We have a small group that we run that's grandparents raising grandkids and trying to work through, because it takes 3 years for a grandparent to learn how to be a parent again.
Wow.
And so that just creates more trauma behavior for them. So we're trying to get them educated. We got some very good people coming in to teach. Mm-hmm. Got a counselor that's coming in to talk about what is trauma. And then we got Baptist Children's Home coming in as how do you parent that?
Right.
As a teacher or as a foster parent or a grandparent. And then we have another group coming in that's going to talk about the older age group, about the adolescents and how their behavior, what it looks like and how to handle that.
Right.
And even those that are aging out, what kind of things that are experienced there if nothing has been treated. So it's got to be treated. And to do that, people have to know about trauma. And even there's the lady that created this was a psychologist down at Texas Christian University at TCU. Mm-hmm. And I recommend any foster parent or a teacher or a church worker, go get educated about that. It's a 7-hour class. Yeah, it costs $75, but it's certainly worth it, because it's going to make your life better and the kid's life
life a whole lot better. That's right. That's right.
It's not going to go away, so you might as well learn it.
So, let me make sure I get this straight. Guys, you can see the information on the screen. I'm going to go ahead and say it for those who are not watching, who are maybe at work or at home, and you're driving in your car, and you're going to tune into this episode a little bit later so you can attend it here. It's going to be here in Alabama. It's going to be April the 20th, and it's going to be a trauma-informed care training conference at Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church. That's located at 5080 Cahaba Valley Trace here in Birmingham, Alabama, 35242. Registration opens at 8 a.m. and the event begins at 8:30 a.m. So join in. Now, did I catch it correctly, Paul, that you said this is a continuing education, that those who are teachers, who are in the medical field, who need those continuing education credits, they can actually attend your event and get that credit?
That's right. And they just read, we'll send it to them in, as an email, send the credit to them or the certificate, whichever one they qualify for. So,
wow.
So it's easy to do and easy to get, and you're going to be glad that you did it. And if, you know, if you got people out there that can't attend and or it's too far for them to come,
uh-huh.
they can just email us at info@fostercoalition.org, info at fostercoalition.org, and just tell them that you couldn't make it, but like a copy of this event, we're going to video it all, so we'll send it to you. And we're just glad to do that. And also, if you can't make it and you maybe would like to do this in the future, because we're going to be doing them all the time, just send us your email so we can put you on the list to notify you when the next one comes up. And if you want to attend it, you can register and come in. So anybody that wants to come in, just go to fostercoalition.org and register, because we need to know how many goodie bags to make. And so we can have the information there to send you a certificate or continue an education videos. We have a bunch of other things that we can help you with.
Awesome. And there's the email address right there. So for those who may be listening to this and you're not in Alabama, you say, well, I would love to attend it. I would love to see that. Guys, you can just email them at info@fostercoalition.org. It's right there. info@fostercoalition.org, all one word. There it is right there on your screen. Paul, when I was thinking about this episode, Lifeline, I was thinking about this this episode of Lifeline, Paul. A lot of things kind of came across my mind. A lot of things kind of ran through my mind. I kind of want to throw out a definition for the word lifeline. A lifeline, and this is by all means an end of all definitions. This is the definition we're going to work with. A lifeline is a thing on which someone or something depends, or which provides a means of escape from a difficult situation. How does this symbolize the need for what you see play out in the lives of children in foster care daily?
Well, again, when a child comes into the system, they're coming out of a hard place where they've been abused, neglected. You know, we've had stories of kids put in a closet and locked for 3 days while the parents went out on a drug binge, and they come from hard places. And when they can go into an environment like a foster parent, and where they're loved and accepted and cared for and not abused, you know, it's kind of a scary thing for them, but because they have to learn what normal is all about. And
right.
if you can provide that, or if you wanted to be a mentor to an aging out child, or you can take them to a ball game, take them out to eat, you know, teach them how to drive, how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to quit a job, and you know, career assessments about what are they made to do.
Right.
And so they can get training for that, so they can be out on their own, independent, and make it. Where right now, 20% are immediately homeless when they age out.
Oh, wow.
50% are have no means of support in 3 years. And it's all because they need somebody, a human being that's loving and caring, will walk with them through life.
To be that lifeline, to get them out of that tough situation. When we think about a lifeline, when I think about a lifeline, many questions may be in our minds, like, what if the lifeline I'm throwing out there doesn't reach? What if it doesn't reach? But if we throw it, it will reach someone. What I mean is this: a lot of times we may not support or get involved because we may feel that our reach isn't long enough. We may feel our reach won't go far enough, but our reach does make a difference. The reason it is so important to partner with others, Paul, the reason it's so important to partner with others is because if one person's reach isn't long enough, just tie your rope to someone else's and throw it. Yeah, all you have to do is tie your rope to the end of somebody else's rope and throw it. Yeah, everybody's reach is different. Everybody's reach is not the same. But Paul, if I tie my rope to your rope, it can stretch a little further. And we like to think that, well, my reach isn't important. I'm just little old me living in my little old neighborhood, in my little old house, doing what I do. How if I can be important? It's not about just what you can do. Take your rope and tie it to somebody else's rope and throw it. What I mean is you don't have to do it all by yourself. Throw your rope out there. It's going to reach somebody, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you may not feel like you belong in as a foster parent, but you can support a foster parent. You know, exactly. Take them a meal. You can babysit for them. You can do a little transportation. You can encourage them, you know, and you can work in a foster ministry at a church where they absolutely do that. You know, you can join hands. And there are just so many different ways to do that. You know, it's you know, you can volunteer to be in an organization that does things. You can, you know, if you can't do any of that stuff, you can support it financially. You know, you can go to the website there on ours, and you can't do anything else. You can provide some funds so other people can do that.
Exactly.
And so it's joining together. You know, like we say, you may not can do everything, but you can do something.
Exactly. Tie your rope.
Tie your rope.
Somebody else's and throw it out there. April is also National Child Abuse Prevention Month. How much of what the team at Foster Coalition does is to help abuse and battered children?
Tell me what? Yeah.
April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. So how much of what the team at Foster Coalition does is to help abused and battered children?
Everything, 100%. Everything we do is for the child. You know, it may not be dealing with them directly, but it's getting their needs met one way or another. And if we're, that's the reason we're doing the trauma education, so that these people can take care of these children a little better. We're working with churches to create foster ministries. And if you want to do a foster ministry, give us an email. We'll help you get it started and give you all the tools to do it with. And, you know, if you want to be a mentor, you know, we can train you to do all that stuff. We equip you for what you're getting into. And because that's what's really the foster parent struggles are to now. They don't know what they're getting into. And then when they walk up against a brick wall, they don't know how to handle it. So they quit. That's a wasted heart right there. So everything goes for the child. We're just equipping people for whatever ministry they want to do and however they want to do it. And we're just opening doors so that others can actually train you how to do that as well as we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to put up your website here real quick, Paul. Let me get it here. And this time, I'm going to let it be seen. There you go. you don't know what we're laughing at, guys. This time it can be seen. But this is your website, and this is where you can go, and you can look at the special events and everything that's occurring. And this is where you can donate, right here. All you got to do is click and donate. So what I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to take it off real quick, and I'm going to do this real quick, guys.
And if you want your heart broken, there's a 5-minute video on the front page that'll break your heart. It's about the kids in the system and all the things that they go through.
Wow. So you actually have videos that you have taken where it shows the different children and their stories, because that's what it is. It's a story of their life and what's happening.
Yes. And everybody comes in for a different reason at a different time, at a different age. But they all have the same problem. They need their security, acceptance, and significance met. And it takes loving people to do that. And it takes a village to raise a child. And it's just everybody needs to be part of the village.
Absolutely. All right, perfect here. I'm actually trying to do this. Oh, I'm trying to do something on your site right now, Paul. There we go. And I left some information off. There we go. How did I leave that off? Like, I don't know my own name. There we go. Let's see here.
Better than I am.
All right. So here's what I did, guys. I want you to, I didn't want you to see me typing my card information. But as you can see, guys, here it is. Thank you for your generous donation. So yes. I'm not going to ask you to do something I didn't do myself. So there you go. Thank you for a generous donation. So I went ahead and donated to it. Guys, fostercoalition.org. Please, if you cannot, if you say, well, you know what? I don't want to be a foster parent. Do what Paul say. Tie your rope to somebody else's rope. Help a foster parent. Do what I just did here. Give a donation. And the cool thing is about this, you can actually customize the donation that you're, the amount you're going to give. The minimum is $10, but you can customize it from there. There you go, guys. So go ahead and do that. I'm going to go ahead and remove that. So there you go, Paul. I'm not going to ask my listeners and viewers to do something I'm not going to do myself first. So there
I
you go.
I appreciate you.
Oh, you, man, you know better than that, Paul. You know how we do here, man. You know how we do. Don't play. What are some things, my man, Paul, things that you could say to someone who is listening? They're listening right now. Let's say they're standing right in front of you, Paul. They're standing right in front of you, and it's standing listening, and they're reluctant about helping, and those who are maybe interested in being a part of what you're doing or participating in your upcoming event.
Well, I guess my story is if your heart's being touched, you need to be doing something one way or the other. And like you said, you can tie yourself to a rope and follow and help and support. And you need to, any way possible, you need to come to this event to just get a good education, meet others that are there learning too. And a lot of them are foster parents that are struggling, and they can confirm this and let you know what it's all about, and what, you know, if you're interested in being a foster parent, they'll give you some guidance about what you're getting into. And that's very important. But, you know, you got to walk together with others, and you can't do this alone. So it come see others, learn from others, and do with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Key thing there, Paul, is we cannot do it alone. God, thank you so much, Paul Berry, for joining us today. Thank you so much for sharing the information. Guys, the information for the show is right there going across the screen. And for those who are listening, the event is going to be April the 20th. It's going to be the Trauma-Informed Care Training Conference right there in Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church, 5080 Cahaba Valley Trace, right here in Birmingham, Alabama, 35242. Registration opens at 8 a.m. and the event begins at 8:30. Guys, thank you so much, Paul, for being part of the show. Paul, anytime you have an open invitation, you guys got something going on, don't hesitate to ping me, man. Let me know, and I can definitely get behind you and push it and get you guys out there, man. I actually believe in what you guys are doing.
I appreciate it very much, and we really like to go where good news is told.
That's what, see what I'm talking about. Paul know what to say, man. Paul know what to say. Man, listen. Guys, I want to show you a quick video to illustrate what we're doing here. Hold on one second here. I'm going to put up this video, and I'm going to put myself down here because I want you guys to see what I'm looking at. So, guys, if you've ever watched a movie or a TV show and a person was either hanging off a cliff or maybe they were in the water fighting not to go under, and there was a person standing nearby with a rope, they would throw the rope and pull. Maybe the role that we play isn't the person driving the boat to pick up someone. Maybe it's not the helicopter pilot flying in at the last moment to get them off the cliff. Maybe our role is to throw the rope and pull someone in. Maybe this is the time we pull on the rope. Maybe this is the time that we become someone's lifeline. Paul, man, once again, thank you so much for being part of the show. Thank you so much for joining. I hope your event is an absolutely amazing one, Paul. I know it will be. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, it's been a real blast. You know it has been. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and for listening to the show. Listen, you can stream each episode right here every Thursday and watch it 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can stream it on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and so many others. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here. I got to go. Peace, y'all.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.